Israel and Jerusalem and God's plans for them and how God wanted them to repent and come back to him, which he's pleaded with them over and over again. And then tonight, again, he rebukes, but also then, as he often did in Isaiah and Jeremiah and the other minor prophets, then with the rebuke gives the great promise about his plans for Israel and for Jerusalem. Remember, God is not done with them. Amen. Never forget that. Keep praying for Israel. They are God's chosen people. That's never changed. And the kingdom will be Jewish. The temple will be Jewish. Every writer of the New Testament was Jewish. We are in on a Jewish program. Amen. And thank the Lord we are. So we'll start where we finished last week here in Zechariah, chapter 1, and beginning in verse 7. It says, "Hold thy peace at the presence of the Lord God, for the day of the Lord is at hand." Now that's Zephaniah. Everybody's wondering, hey, it starts with the same letter. It's old age, what can I say? Brother Mark would know, right? Because he's older than me. That Mark too. Verse 7, upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sebat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, "I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, and he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, These are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, We've walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Then the angel of the Lord answered and said, O Lord of hosts, how long wilt thou not have mercy on Jerusalem and on the cities of Judah, against which thou hast had indignation these 70 years. And the Lord answered the angel that talked with me with good words and comfortable words. So the angel that communed with me said unto me, Cry thou, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy. And I am very sore displeased with the heathen that are at ease. For I was but a little displeased, and they helped forward the affliction. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, I am returned to Jerusalem with mercies. My house shall be built in it, saith the Lord of hosts, and a line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem. Cry yet, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, My cities through prosperity shall yet be spread abroad, and the Lord shall yet comfort Zion, and shall yet choose Jerusalem. So all the earth sitteth still. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you again for the privilege of meeting here this evening, opening your word together around our Savior. And I pray you'd speak to us through your word. Remind us again of your great promises to your people. May your will be done. We give you this service. May you guide us and be pleased in it. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. So God, of course, used these angels to teach another lesson. And as they walked to and fro, they came back and gave their report to the Lord, and their report was there in verse 11, all the earth sitteth still and is at rest. Now, he's primarily here talking, as we saw later, about the heathen. And he's jealous over Jerusalem, but he's saying the whole world is just not doing anything. They're just sitting still. And what is he teaching here? Well, if we bring it forward to where we are today, things haven't changed much, have they? The whole world's essentially, in a spiritual sense, sitting still. Is the world on fire for Jesus? No. Are they interested in what the Bible has to say? No. Are most Christians serving the Lord Jesus Christ with their gifts and their time? No. So it sounds like the earth is still sitting still. Waiting for what? I don't know. We know what the Jews are waiting for, which we'll talk about later. But for us as Christians, what does the Lord want? Does he want us to be sitting still? We talked about this in Potato this afternoon. Of course not. Yes, we're to stand for the faith. We're to stand for what's right, but we're to be busy. We're, as we read in 1 Corinthians 15:58, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We're to be serving Christ. We're to be giving all we can. If you go to John chapter 9, Jesus Christ made a very interesting statement along these lines. Because he knew his time on earth, of course, was limited, since he knew the crucifixion was close. And look what he said here in John 9:4. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. Jesus said, I need to be busy. And he said in another one of the Gospels, I need to be about my Father's business. I need to be busy while I can. And he says to us, and so do you. This night he's referring to, of course, is the tribulation. When it's too late, the church age will be over. And the earth will be a mess. It'll be judgment upon the earth and so forth. The night comes. And we need to take heed to what Christ is saying here. The earth is sitting still. A lot of Christians are sitting still. Jesus says, get to work. Look at another one that in Christ, Matthew 9, another one of Jesus' beautiful statements. Along these lines, Matthew 9, verse 37. It says, then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. You know, there are not a lot of specific prayer requests in the New Testament that God puts forward to us and says, pray for this. There's really like five. And one of them is, we are to be praying that God would send forth laborers. We should be praying this every day. Lord, send forth laborers into your harvest. If we truly have a heart for missions, we need to be praying for laborers. Because everyone needs to hear. The earth is at rest. Jesus is coming soon. And it's not the world's mission to tell people about Jesus. It's our mission, Christians' mission, to tell people about Jesus. But all the earth sitteth still. And what we find is the Laodicean church, lukewarm, not on fire for Jesus. They're cold and they're lukewarm, but they're definitely not hot. So if you go to Amos 6, remember when in Amos, when God rebuked Israel for the same thing, Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Look what he says. Woe to them that are at ease in Zion. So God here was rebuking Israel. This was before the captivity of Babylon. Woe to them that are at ease. Woe to them that are just sitting on their laurels and not serving me, God said. And then we go to Matthew 13, if you would. One of the seven parables of Matthew 13, where Jesus Christ told a parable to essentially rebuke Israel and us for this very same thing. Verse 35 of Mark 13 and verse 35. He says, watch ye therefore, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh, at even or at midnight or at the cock crowing or in the morning, lest coming suddenly he find you sleeping. So is God here talking about physically sleeping? No, he's talking about spiritually sleeping. He's saying that the world, especially Christians, are asleep. Instead, they should be working and watching. Another one, go to Romans chapter 13, verse 11, if you would, quickly. Romans 13, 11. It says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Who's he writing to there? Us. What's he telling us to do? Awake out of sleep. He's not talking about physical sleep, is he? He's talking about a church that's asleep, a church that's not busy serving Jesus, witnessing to the lost, serving Christ with their gifts. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 7, the time is short. And over in Ephesians 5, he says, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So can we take some spiritual application from this rebuke? Absolutely. The earth sitteth still and is at rest. So let's go back to our passage here in Zechariah 1, where God then expresses his jealousy over Jerusalem. God has never stopped loving Israel. He's never stopped loving Jerusalem. And even though they're still in that chastisement stage, the day is still coming. God has not forsaken them. He says there in verse 14, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Jerusalem and for Zion with a great jealousy." God has never given up and never will, because the promises he made to them were unconditional. Jerusalem will still be the center of God's kingdom. We've seen that over and over. Notice verse 16. "My house shall be built in it." My house, God's temple. Look at Ezekiel 37 and verse 27. Ezekiel 37, 27. "My tabernacle," God says, "also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people." This is God talking about Israel. He says, I'm still jealous for Jerusalem. I'm still jealous for Israel. I will still have my temple in their midst. And you know, even here in Zechariah, God gives a lot of beautiful promises about Jerusalem. Let's look at a few. Look at chapter 2 of Zechariah and verse 5, which we'll be looking at next week. He says, "For I, saith the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire round about, and will be the glory in the midst of her." Talking about Jerusalem. And then down in verse 10, "Sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord." Verse 12, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah, his portion in the Holy Land, and shall choose Jerusalem again." Over in chapter 8, these are just some samples. Chapter 8, verse 3, "Thus saith the Lord, I am returned unto Zion, and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and Jerusalem shall be called a city of truth, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain." The city of truth, the holy mountain, this is God's description of future Jerusalem. And so on the one hand, he's got these angels giving him this report that the whole earth sitteth still. And God's response, of course, time doesn't mean much to God, as we understand. But God's response is to say, I'm jealous for my people, and I'm jealous for Jerusalem. Now, Christ came as the Messiah, and they rejected him. And their redemption, if you will, was put on hold for at least 2,000 years, which we find ourselves in, the church age. Jesus said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He came and he offered them the solution. He offered them their king. He offered them their kingdom. All they had to do was repent, which they refused to do. Instead, they nailed him to a cross. And he said, the next time you see me, you'll say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. There in Matthew 23. So God is still jealous over Jerusalem. He's still jealous over Israel. He will still make it the seat of his power during the kingdom, and you and I, as God's children, will be there. In the meantime, I think we can take heed to this warning from the Lord and the Lord Jesus Christ that it's not God's will that the earth sitteth still, especially Christians. And that rebuke is repeated in Revelation 3. We'll turn there and be finished. But Revelation 3 is, of course, the letter to the seven. Revelation 2 and 3 are the letters to the seven churches. If the churches are given in church history order, which they most likely are, we are the last one because we are in the last days. We all know that. And that would be the church at Laodicea. And it's the church at Laodicea that he says to them, verse 14, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. He's talking to a church here. Verse 18, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mightest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mightest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. Many in the church were not even saved. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Recognize that word, repent? The first words out of Jesus' mouth when his ministry began, the first words out of John the Baptist's mouth when his ministry began. We get to the end of the whole thing where Jesus is talking to the last of the seven churches, and he says, be zealous and repent. And then the very well-known verse 20, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. He is speaking there to the Laodicean church. He says, let me in. And how many churches today claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, and many of the people aren't even born again? Some of the preachers aren't even born again, and they don't preach the Word of God. And Jesus is knocking, saying, let me in. It's my church, supposedly. Let me in. Let me run it. Let me in there. Because we have work to do. Amen? People need to hear about Jesus. We need to be serving the Lord. And take heed to this rebuke. All the earth sitteth still. Jesus said in the book of Luke, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Let that not be us. Amen. Instead, let's pray that we can be one of the ones where he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for reminding us of this great truth.